Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now.
Yes, my buddy.
What's by up, homeboy? Sam Acho.
What up, Sam?
What up, fellas?
Hold on, Sam. You rolled in here.
Let's put on some glasses real quick, though.
I appreciate it.
What very book do we bright. Have in the hand?
I just want to adjust the color knob for a second.
I know. I need my glasses on.
Wait, Sam, you rolling around like LeBron James? Got a book in hand? Have you read the book?
Oh, you know about Sam's book?
No, so I wrote the book, man. This book is called Change Starts With You. It came out yesterday, which is what I'm so excited about. It's called Change Starts With You, Following Your Fire to Heal a Broken World. And so obviously got a chance to really like the stuff we talk about on TV. Right, you talk about like issues in the community, or the stuff that athletes address or don't address. A couple years ago, me and some athletes got together and said, what if we could do something in the community to help change it? You know, in response to George Floyd, in response to Ahmaud Arbery, in response to COVID and sports and everything being canceled. And so we got together on the west side of Chicago and said, man, what if we actually came together? Every single team, essentially, Bears, Bulls, Cubs, Blackhawks, White Sox, Chicago Sky, we didn't get the Fire, but every single team came together for one cause. And so this book is really an idea of like, man, what if people came together not only to help change, like, yes, the world, but like start with one person at a time, one community at a time. And so it's available at sammachobook.com. It just released yesterday. So I'm super hyped, man. Keyshawn, obviously you wrote a couple books. Some of yours are sitting right here. Jay, you've got yours as well. So for me, it's y'all know, like, and Max, I don't know if you've written any yet,
but you got
a couple in you. Like, these are huge days for authors. You know what I mean? To put yourself in the world like that. And so, first of all, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it here. But, I mean, this is like a really, really big day for me because you put a lot of time, not even blood, but like sweat and tears into this. And you put it out in the world and you hope that people will receive it.
And this is your writing. Like, Jay's joking around. A lot of times athletes write a book and you'd be like, hey, have you read it yet? But you actually wrote this thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is my second book. Even my first book, I wrote the proposal for it. And I wrote it and I sent it to the publishers. And they're like, hey, Sam, this is great. Who wrote it? I'm like, no, like, I wrote it. They said, no, well, you know, it's your idea and like your thoughts, but who wrote it? And I said, I did. And they looked at me, they said, dude, you're not a football player, you're a writer. Mm-hmm. And so there was this deal, and we should get into this on maybe not today, but like athletes suppress things and repress things. I wanted to be this big, bad football player. So I didn't even think about writing. Then all of a sudden I had an injury. I tore my pec. I'm out for the season. I had time. I got released. And these words start to come out. That was book one. Book two, similar situation. Man, COVID. Everything canceled, stopped. I was training for another football season. I was trying to go sign with somebody. I'd eventually go and sign. I think I didn't end up signing after this year, but it was this deal of like, man, this pain and frustration and doubt and fear and anger was in my heart. And I started, like, the way Jason Hayward said it, because he was one of the guys with us, he said, man, take all that emotion and take aim. Like, don't just let it run you
channel
over.
It.
Channel it. And we did that, and that's what I'm hoping that people who read this book, I'm hoping they do the same.
I just ordered mine on Amazon right now.
My guy. Yeah, I appreciate it, bro.
Nice. Straight up, that means Jay, look at that.
Yeah. I'm not ordering one. I expect mine for free.
Hey, man, text me your address, Key. Yeah. I got you.
Well, wait.
Don't return it.
Can I renege on that?
No, don't renege. I'll sign yours. I'll sign yours. I ain't signing keys.
I'm for free. That's why he's my buddy. I'm for free. I want free.
You sound like Key. You know who you sound like, Key. No, play.
So you know congrats, what's not though. Free. Listen, Sam was VP of the NFLPA. Your reaction to Lamar Jackson getting the non-exclusive franchise tag?
I don't have an issue with it. Most teams use non-exclusive franchise tags. We're clarifying it now because it seems like a talking point, but 99% of teams, and I saw a stat, maybe this is incorrect, but from what I understand, over the last 10 years, there have only been four players who have gotten the exclusive franchise tag. Kirk Cousins, Le'Veon Bell, Drew Brees, and one other that actually am Von Miller. Mm-hmm. So the non-exclusive franchise tag is what a majority of teams use. So I don't have any issue with them using the non-exclusive franchise tag. I also don't believe that they're using it in order to get two first-round picks and let him walk. If they wanted two first-round picks, they could trade him, and they would get probably more than two first-round picks. And so I believe that what the Baltimore Ravens are doing is they're allowing him to test the market. They're forcing him to negotiate, have until, what is it, June 17th or July 17th, to come to an agreement. And then finally you're going to say, okay, you've tested the market. Another team offered you X. We will match it. And if they don't, like most teams do when you do any type of franchise tag, you continue to negotiate. And so those are my feelings with the non-exclusive franchise tag and my thoughts towards it.
Sam, I want you to open up your nostrils, though, and I want you to sniff. and smell. Does it smell like there's something funny going on, though, from a collusion standpoint? Because here's one of the most young decorated quarterbacks that we've seen in our time become available. And then all of a sudden, within an hour, you have a number of teams stepping out front and saying, well, we're not interested. Quarterback needing teams, not teams that, you know, we're not talking about the Chargers saying they're not interested. We're talking about teams that are going into the draft looking to find their next quarterback saying that. Is that something, as the vice president of the NFLPA, that your antennas immediately go up?
Well, so I'm gonna tell a story. It may be not graphic's not the right word, but I think this will help people understand when it's something smells like collusion. Right? You know, you'd be on a plane and you're flying. Some people fly first class. Jay, Max, you might have private, right? So it's different for you. But Key definitely flies private. So he's laughing.
We hitch rides with Key,
right? And so, but you know, you're on a plane, all these people, and you smell something. It's like, somebody, you know, somebody like passed gas. Mm-hmm. Somebody, you know, they passed gas on the plane. But you can't prove who it is.
Yeah.
You
just have look feeling, around, give everyone dirty looks.
Right.
Oh,
you have
on.
A feeling. You know it's not you, but it's like, man. And that's the issue with collusion. Straight up. We're laughing and joking, but you have to be able to prove that teams got together and secretly said, we're not going to sign this player. Colin Kaepernick. So I'm no longer the vice president. My term ended in March of last year, right? So I served it for 4 years, was a part of the NFLPA for 11 years. When Colin Kaepernick, situation, 2016-17, no one's signing him. We're saying collusion. You talked to some of the lawyers within the NFLPA, and the problem that we ran into was that, how do you prove it? So you can sue the league and then come to a settlement, but how do you prove? I know one of y'all passed gas, but I don't know who it is. And I can't prove who it is unless someone comes out and admits
what
it.
What smells that way to you, Sam? Is it that five teams jump out day one and say, publicly, we are not interested? The reporting is like, is that what it is?
That seems pretty obvious to me, Max. I mean, teams making statements on the first day that he gets a non-exclusive tag. Why would you say anything at all, Sam?
Unless you're trying to drive the market down, right? Like, usually what teams want to do is drive the market up on other teams, even if they're not interested, because they want them to overpay, so it gives them a competitive advantage, right? The ones that's not overpaying. But here, it's like everyone's doing other teams a favor. That's what looks like collusion to me, or smells like it.
And that's the issue. Jay, ask your question again, though, because I want to address that.
Why would teams the day that he gets tagged with the non-exclusive tag, why would teams come out and make a comment that day when typically teams don't make comments on when players get tagged or are non-exclusively tagged?
Well, I believe it's because those teams legitimately aren't interested. That's why they make that comment. And should they be, those teams, hey, we're going to go different. And maybe we say it's because, hey, he wants a guaranteed contract. Right? I don't think teams are saying, okay, well, we don't want to sign him. Now we're going to drive the market down. Then we'll go get him. I think, like, hey, you know, we're whether it's because you've been injured last few years or because we don't want to pay you a guaranteed contract. I think that's
I'm not making the claim that they're doing that because the market comes down, they get him cheaper. This is the claim I'm making. Normally, teams would like to drive the price up on another team.
Correct.
Right? So because if the other team overpays, then they have less money to put good players around. And the team that didn't overpay, in a hard cap league, properly pricing commodities, which are the players, is of the utmost importance, right? So here, five teams jump out and make public that they are not interested,
Let's clarify. So not making reports, but leaks, like, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the camps aren't officially saying that. That's what you're hearing from people.
So, but Sam, normally the opposite would
happen. I agree with you.
So, Sam, let me ask you this, though. As it pertains to Lamar and teams saying whether or not they would like his services, do you think a team like the Commanders can use his services?
Yes, absolutely. I think a team like the Jets could use his services. I mean, any team could use his services. And I think teams are foolish for not even inquiring. Like, the reports are he wants a fully guaranteed contract. I don't know if that's 100% accurate.
Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this, though, Sam, because I be, Lord have mercy. Hey, bad English. I communicate with my guys a lot and try to
get them to understand these deals, right? You being part of the NFLPA. So if Lamar was to sign a 7-year deal, and let's say the first 4 years are $230 million, but they need a 7-year deal because they need to stretch it out over those years for the cap purposes to push it out. Is that 4 years not fully guaranteed? Because I would think that the 4 years is fully guaranteed. I don't care about the other three.
Well, that's
because if I can play, I'm going to get to the other three, much like Dak Prescott is about to do on his deal, renegotiated and extended out. I'm having a hard time understanding why does it have to be fully guaranteed or the first 4 years of it fully guaranteed?
Well, what I've heard people, I was first take the other day, and Stephen A said, hey, Lamar's camp has said it's not necessarily that he wants a fully guaranteed contract. And maybe he did before, and maybe things have changed, or maybe he never did, right? Like, we haven't actually officially heard from him. But what I will say is you're right. When contracts come about, Daniel Jones' contract, I think, is a great example. What do they say? 4 years, $160 million, 80 or 82?
82 guaranteed. Yeah.
That's a 2-year, $82 million deal.
Right. Yeah.
Right? That's what that is. I'm not going to go into my contract details. When I signed a deal with the Bears, one of my last year's NFL, it was this 2-year deal for X amount of dollars. And based off what my signing bonus was and based off of how the contract was structured, for me, that was a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
It wasn't, and then it wasn't because, oh, if you can prove it. No, sometimes teams say, hey, we know, like, that's what Ndamukong Suh did. That's what Darrell Revis did toward the end of his career. I'm going to structure my contract where I believe it's a 1-year deal. Put all the guarantees in year 2 or 3 or whatever.
Carr just did it with the Saints.
Correct.
2 years, $60 million.
Bingo. And so my point is, he could structure it that way, but I don't know if, maybe you might argue that teams aren't willing to give him $230 million, even if it's a 7-year deal. Maybe that's the argument that is being made. Aaron Rodgers getting $58 million a year. We've seen other quarterbacks get 40 to 45, some guys 50. So maybe the better answer would be, well, put me in that range.
Sam, very quickly before we get out of here, do you think in the next 5 years we'll be talking about, do you think the NFL is trending in the direction that quarterbacks will be earning the 230, the 240s, the 250s guaranteed with Joe Burrow and the next crop up?
Yes, I think we will. And I do think we will. I really do.
Sam Acho, the book Change Starts With You, Following Your Fire to Heal a Broken World.
Order it, Max.
I will.
Sam Acho.
My buddy Sam.
That's right. Keys. By the way, for an author, every sale counts. Key.
No, you say what, Jay?
I can't with you, Key.
Key, I'm going to text you, man. Text me your address.
You hit me up. I'm boom, boom.
You
gotta
can also
be free,
purchase
though.
One. You have a lot
yes,
of money.
It's called
No. Don't. See, there you go. You don't know what's in my account. But at the end of the day, I know you. And if you can't give me a free book, then I can't promote it. I need a free book.
I got you.
Sam, now that he's not the VP of the Players Association anymore, is freed up to wear these kind of suits, whatever he wants to do. This is strictly prohibited when he was VP. All right. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max.
I need that Louis Vuitton, too, with the Gucci on the other side, with the Valentino.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Average. By the way, how about the fact that the Jets met with Aaron Rodgers? The whole brass was on that plane, right? Going to California. Is he any closer to making a decision, though, KJM?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people. and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Multiple Jets team officials fly out to meet with Aaron Rodgers in person.
You put the owner on the plane, you put the team president on the plane, you put the head coach, GM, the offensive coordinator on the plane. You're not doing that because you're hoping he'll listen. You're doing that because you're hoping to walk away with some sort of resolution.
That certainly indicates a strong chance that it's heading in the direction of him being traded to the Jets.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And we are joined now by the lovely Kimberly A. Martin.
K-Mart.
What up, what up?
What's going on?
What up, what up,
Kimberly?
What up?
What is this music? What are we doing? What are we doing today?
You're like extra fancy today.
Max.
Oh, wait. No, she always looks fancy.
I said extra. I said lovely to start. I then say extra today. Okay. There's no way. You can't win.
You're right.
Yeah. What are you? More importantly, you're here for your football knowledge and acumen, Kimberly.
I am.
What are you hearing about Aaron Rodgers?
Okay. Well, it is wild because we went from Aaron Rodgers could possibly stay in Green Bay to possibly retire to now all of a sudden the Jets are in California. I can tell you that the Jets contingent plans to return today. A timeline, trying to figure out when this could all be resolved or when the Jets could get their man. It's a little tough because right now the ball's in Aaron's court, which it has been this whole time. And the Jets are making their overtures. They've made it clear, we want you. But it really is on Aaron to decide whether he wants to keep playing or play here in New York.
Why does it come up all the time that he is trying to decide if he wants to keep playing? I mean, do we really think that Aaron Rodgers is going to decide, I don't want to play football, so I'm just going to forfeit $100 million because I don't want to play anymore? Like,
yeah, well, when you look at it realistically, it's like, who's going to walk away from $60-some million? Like, why would you do that? But in recent weeks, there's been more chatter about don't discount the idea of him retiring. I personally have always felt that this man is going to play. I think he would have – I don't think there would have been the whole darkness retreat. I think once the season ended, if he was really done, I think he would have just, like, shut it down. I think this guy is going to continue playing.
Really, why would he take a meeting with the Jets if he was thinking about retiring? Like, that seems to me to be incongruent.
Well,
like
yes, but Aaron's a funny guy, man. You just don't know. Would you be shocked if he met with the Jets and then all of a sudden was like, actually, no. Because the joke would be like, that's so Jetsy. Yeah, right. The Jets would fly all the way to California, and the dude would say, you know what? I'm good. I'm just going to
retire.
It's
Eddie Murphy in the ice cream truck, right? Let me see how fast these little guys can run. Yeah. Let's see if I get all these guys out of California.
It's hard for me. You don't know what to even expect to begin with Aaron Rodgers because it feels volatile, right? Like personality trait-wise, though, do you? Because I get the fit football-wise.
Yeah.
The fit would be great for New York. Personality trait-wise, do you think he would mesh here in New York?
It's interesting. I think he's his own man, so he could handle the scrutiny, but he is very sensitive. I mean, during the whole inoculated drama, he felt like the woke mob was after him. And I was like, if he's afraid of a woke mob for that, like once you come to New York, the difference in coming here is you are a hired mercenary. Your job, you have one objective, and it is to win a Super Bowl. And there isn't 16, 17 years of history here as he has in Green Bay. It is, Aaron, you have no ties to the city. We are hiring you to get one job done. And if he falls short or if he does not play well, last year was a down year, I think mostly because of the thumb, But if you going 13-4 or 13-3, like, that's not good enough. That's just simply not good enough for a Jets team that has not won a Super Bowl since probably before Keyshawn was born. You know what I mean?
I do, because they haven't.
I'm just going to let that go.
I was waiting for a rebuttal or response. I'm going to leave my sister alone.
What does this mean for Jordan Love, though? Like, what is he doing now? Is he sleeping good at night, or is he stressed out?
I think Jordan Love's sleeping a little bit better. Like, Jordan Love can unpack some suitcases now. Like, he can put, like, his underwear in the drawer, like, some socks.
He's been living out of a suitcase.
Because, listen... Listen, and it's not the kid's fault. It's been awful for Jordan Love because they go up to get you, they move up to get you, and since then you haven't been able to get on the field much, and it's all been predicated on your organization feeling like it made a mistake in drafting you and not telling Aaron. So he's been in this weird situation, but the GM, Brian Gutekunst, said at the Combine at Indy, Jordan Love's ready to play. So if the Jets end up taking Aaron Rodgers off their hands and they say, okay, we've got our guy, now we'll see how smart the Packers are as far as their draft evaluation.
Lamar Jackson.
Ooh, listen.
Lamar. What was your reaction to the non-exclusive tag from the Ravens?
Yeah, so that I got the tip that at 3 o'clock that's what they were doing. And I'll be honest, I was surprised, but then when you really thought about it, I wasn't, because they weren't going to reach a long-term deal. When you think about the non-exclusive, that's like about, what, like 35, let's say. 30, you know, the exclusive would be about $45 million. So if you're the Ravens, you're looking at it like, let Lamar test the market. We feel like we've been fair, given fair and competitive offers. And if you think about it, there have been reports that the Ravens only offered $133, which is just like gross, like $100 million less than what Deshaun has got. But go back to September. Lamar Jackson told, like, at least Diane Russini reported that she spoke to Lamar Jackson in the locker room after their week one game, and she asked about how much money he turned down, and he said roughly around 160-180. If you go back to week one, that is what he said, his own words.
So the 160-180 guarantee?
And he turned it down. If we go back, check the tape. If you go back to week one, so the idea of that it only being 133, that's off. Now, what the Ravens have done since then, I would hope, as a smart organization, they would have gone above that. But they feel like they've been fair and competitive in their offers. And they're saying, Lamar, go test the market. I think if you are to get to this point with a dynamic franchise guy who's in his prime, who's 45-16 in his career, I think that is risky. But yeah, if you are the Ravens, you're feeling like it's a calculated risk because, hey, test the market. If you find something better than what we're giving you, we can always match it. They don't think they're done here. They don't think they're out of the race. But it does leave the potential of fractured feelings and fractured relationships.
Well, see, now that you said that, my conversation is different now, right?
Okay.
Now you just completely changed my whole thought process on the Lamar Jackson situation. Because from day one, it's always been 133 based on the reports by Mortimer and Shefty. But now Diana's saying, go back to week one. Like you said, check the tapes. It was between 160-180, which is in line with Kyler Murray, which is in line with Russell Wilson. Now you move up from that and get a little more juice to it. You're maybe a little less than Deshaun, but Deshaun's situation was a little different. They had to do it that way. So now my thought process is,
assuming they were talking about the guarantee. Mm-hmm. Do we know that Lamar was talking about the guarantee?
I'm assuming that's what he was talking about.
From jump, the issue has been guaranteed money.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's, he had to be talking about the guarantee. So now the whole conversation changes, right, Kim? I mean, like, Kim, it's not 133. It's 160, 180.
All I'm saying is there's been a lot of numbers that have been thrown out. And I can just say at least one of our reporters said Lamar spoke to her and said this back in September when they played, I believe, the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing that I heard repeatedly at the Combine. Lamar Jackson not having an agent, I was all for it because he's a different dude. He does things his own way. But him not having an agent has really sort of hampered things from the standpoint of, Lamar, as a player, you have to understand the market, and you got to understand that things aren't always apples to apples. Like, I personally, Kimberly A. Martin feels like Lamar Jackson should get guaranteed money. If Deshaun Watson has 230, Lamar Jackson should at least get 231. But The difference with the Browns is they had an owner. They have an owner who literally turned to the people in his front office and said, get me that guy. And he felt whatever we need to do, we need to get Deshaun Watson. Lamar Jackson, if he had an agent would go out and ascertain what the market is. Is there another owner who feels that strongly about you, more strongly than your own owner, Steve Bisciotti? Is there another owner that says, give me Lamar Jackson, whatever the cost? And if that's not the case, that's where things become tricky for Lamar, because if you don't have another Jimmy Haslam out there who's willing to do 230, 231, then it is a smart gamble by the Ravens, because they're saying we've been competitive. At least from their perspective, we've been competitive, but we can't meet that Deshaun Watson.
And now the question becomes, how much of it is actually a gamble, mm-hmm. and how much of it are people talking? And then, you know, well, the market's already suppressed by the cap. Is it additionally suppressed in any other way?
Well, I don't have – I mean, everybody's been throwing around the word collusion. I don't – as a reporter, I don't have evidence of that. So I can't say definitively whether that is the case. But I can tell you, people around the league, whether it be agents, whether it be GMs or personnel directors, have literally texted, like, come on, man. Like, this doesn't add up. You have J.J. Watt. You have guys like Dez Bryant. You guys like Tyrann Mathieu. Like, you mean to tell me a Lamar Jackson can't, like, has to quibble for dollars when Danny Dollars now is getting $40 million a year? Like, it doesn't – the math is not mathing.
Yeah, and usually teams want to drive the price up on other teams, but that because they have a competitive interest in mind. You overpay, and then it's better for us. But in this case, five teams come out. We don't want them, which means they're putting the market, suppressing that market ahead of their own competitive interest. Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter. Has Aaron Rodgers played his last game in Green Bay? KJM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Multiple Jets team officials fly out to meet with Aaron Rodgers in person.
You put the owner on the plane, you put the team president on the plane, you put the head coach, GM, the offensive coordinator on the plane. You're not doing that because you're hoping he'll listen. You're doing that because you're hoping to walk away with some sort of resolution.
That certainly indicates a strong chance that it's heading in the direction of him being traded to the Jets.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we're presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, joined now by Chris Canty. What's going on, Chris?
What up, Max? How you doing, man?
Doing good. Doing good. You look like you're
feeling good. Talk that talk, man.
Just a little bit. I'm excited to be on the show with you guys, man. I look forward to hump day with you guys.
Did you get a text from the producers this time?
No, I didn't get any text from Nuno, and I don't know what the hell is going on because every time I come on the show, he texts me the day before, he texts me the morning of. It's kind of become a routine. I like to razz him about it, but there's an element of professionalism that you expect from the producer of our flagship morning show.
You didn't text
Nuno? And the fact that I didn't get a text from Nuno is absolutely ridiculous. Especially following a day where we got consequential news about our New York Giants.
He's been a little bit overwhelmed with clock integrity today. That's been the theme.
Nuno, why wouldn't you text Chris? You know he's coming on the show. He's expecting your text.
Well, we were supposed to have a guest here at 7:30. Obviously, the guest is MIA. Chris just rolled in, which we like. Chris just rolled
so
into
he
the
saved
studio.
Us.
He saved us. Speaking of clock integrity, let's speed this up so we can get back on the clock.
Okay, so hold on. Let me get this straight. So you were supposed to have a guest on that wasn't me in this particular time slot.
Right.
Yes. And I come in every Wednesday, during this particular time slot.
Yeah.
But he just called you. So that's even worse. So
it's even worse. You're not going to tell me that there's a guest that's coming in on this time slot and we don't need you at 7:30?
We're building.
Where's the professionalism?
Sounds like we have an Aaron Rodgers.
Wait a minute. You got bumped out of your normal slot for someone else. They didn't even tell you you got bumped.
And then the person that bumped me didn't even show.
Fortuitously, you show up because, of course, you're going to show up because you're due here anyway, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So speaking of bumped, hey, Key, Daniel Jones got a huge bump
in salary. Don't try to transition.
We'll get to Daniel Jones in a little bit, Nuno. We're still on your ass right now.
Well, I would say that Daniel Jones certainly hit the benchmark of where he should be based on the marketplace. The New York Giants didn't hesitate of giving their star quarterback $40 million a year. And, you know, that's where it's at, Christopher Canty.
Chris, it's 41 a year, but what I like about it is when you look at the franchise tag.
How much is it a year?
82 over the first. It's 82 guaranteed in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
So it's really a 41 a year contract.
Yeah, and call then
the
it rest 41.
Of it's window dressing. But what I like about that, Chris, is when you look what the franchise tag was going to cost them, when you spread this out, actually they lower the cap hit and they, you know, like their cap hit was going to be $33 million anyway this year coming up. So I think they did the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, listen, on its face, it looks like the same deal that Dak Prescott got three off seasons ago, but Dak Prescott got $126 million in total guarantees, which is about 80% of the value of the overall contract, whereas Daniel Jones got 82. You're talking about 50% of the overall contract. So as far as how the Giants can prorate the cap hits over the life of the deal, it makes sense because it offers them a lot of flexibility when it comes to extending foundational players that they like to keep around, guys like Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence. They're two best players. They're two all pros this past year. And then doing business with Saquon Barkley and being able to come to some kind of long-term pact with him in addition to all of the other things that they got to do in free agency and in the draft this year. So I like the move for the New York Giants. Depending on the structure, once all of the details come out, I could end up loving the move. But ultimately, this puts a bullseye on Daniel Jones. Now it's about him being able to perform up to the expectations that's going to come along with a contract of that size.
How about the tag on Saquon Barkley?
I don't like it for Saquon. I don't. And here's why. We all know that the shelf life for running backs is short-lived. And you're talking about a guy going into his sixth season in the National Football League. I think he'll be hard-pressed to do better than what the Giants offered him during the bye week last season, which was in the $12 to $13 million a year range on a four-year pack. So I think this franchise tag ultimately brings Saquon a lot closer to what the Giants want to give him rather than him being near Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey in terms of what those guys got.
Yeah, see, I don't think Saquon really was trying to be the top paid running back. I think he was satisfied with just being paid what he felt he deserved. I don't think he was.
Well,
ever
the top guys
to
are getting $15 to $16 million a year, Key. The Giants offered him 12 or 13. There ain't a whole lot of room in there. So,
well,
I mean,
if you offered 12 or 13, what that 12 or 13 look like? The average per year, average could be 12 or 13, but what's the real money, right? That's what he wants. He wants the real money because, like you said, the shelf life. So if he's getting an average of 13, and let's say it's a two-year, so to speak, type deal, that's $26 million due in the first 2 years, I think he would be okay with that opposed to actually trying to get to 15 to 30 over those 2 years, 15 a year, because if they're not going to go that far, why keep handling it that way? They squabble over hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know how negotiations go.
Yeah, but what I will say is from a sports character standpoint and what Saquon means to this franchise in terms of branding in the community, it's worth paying the premium for, but I think they put that premium right at around $12.5 million per season. That's what it is. So I don't know that Saquon is going to do any better than that, especially considering what we're seeing happening in the running back market.
And keep in mind that Saquon, because he was the number two overall pick, has already made over $30 million in the league. He's got a little running head start, so he can be like, look, I don't need to get my 15 to 16 right now. He got 30-plus that most of these other guys don't have.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like he's going to get into that $14 million right. territory. That's not going to happen.
But what, you're right, but 12 to 13 over three, 4 years?
Hey, I said it last year. Yeah. I said it last year. In a world where Ezekiel Elliott's probably going to get cut this offseason,
yeah.
where the Tennessee Titans are trying to pawn off Derrick Henry's contract on somebody, Listen, it ain't bad work if you can find it for a running back.
Plus, the injuries may have done him a favor in a way because maybe it preserves his shelf life a little bit. He's
you got to miss me with that.
He's not taking the same pounding. He missed a lot of games. He's already missed his games. Max. You don't think it – hold on. You think when you're on the field less that it doesn't preserve your shelf life?
Max, he's a running back, man. He had a knee reconstruction and he had major ankle injuries.
Trying to find the golden line.
No, there is no silver
line.
You're being a golden line. You're fanboying out right now.
What's a golden line?
That's what I'm looking for.
Golden goal?
Not even a golden line.
I would like the platinum line.
A golden line?
Would Chris like to stay another segment?
No, I can't stay another segment.
Why?
Because I have to get my makeup done and get ready for Get Up.
You wear makeup?
Lies, and more lies.
I put on makeup to go on television.
I don't know. Not very tough. I thought you were a big bad defensive lineman.
Okay. All right, you know what, Max? I usually don't fight people at this stage in my life, but I will make an exception for you. I'll hurt myself to hurt Max Kellerman more.
You know, usually I'd be like, all right, bring it.
So what time are y'all done? 9:54:30?
Not yet.
9:54:30? Okay, I'll see you 9:54:31.
Are the Ravens overplaying their hand after Jay has this from Dollar Shave Club?
Still overpaying for a razor, Max, in this economy? Gross. Chris Canty, we'll be waiting for you outside. Scary.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I hate to use the word collusion, but I mean, it just feels like there's something other than doing the right thing by the teams. It just feels that way.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
The Kellerman.
Yes, indeed. Lamar Jackson, non-exclusive franchise tag. Five teams, it is reported immediately, within hours, that five teams are not interested in Lamar Jackson.
But some of them teams don't even make sense to me about why it was leaked, reported by whomever, said, conversation. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, maybe, unless you've put it in this framework. If you're a team, your competitive interest is that the other teams spend more on on certain players because it makes them less effective, right? You want to make it more expensive for them because then they're up against the cap. But if your financial interest, which is to suppress salary of a certain position, in this case the quarterback, trumps your competitive interest, you might leak that you're not interested.
I can't help you, though. I'm trying to win a championship.
Yeah, but
when you go and you draft Jay Will, you ain't thinking about me. You just drafted the best point guard in the league.
Yeah, but
I mean, in college basketball, you should have took the other dude here because you're not thinking about me. You getting the best roster that you possibly could put together to win a championship. Why in the hell would I, if I'm the Carolina Panthers, come out in somebody within the organization or down the street who lived next door to the kicker or whoever or wherever it came from? Say that they don't want Lamar Jackson.
Because you want to suppress quarterback salary.
Exactly. No, but I'm trying to win.
But
not everybody is on the same page as you. And
also, but I can't help everybody else, though.
Last week, I said this at the top of the show, Jacina Anderson, who works for CBS Sports, literally came out and made a statement saying that the Miami Dolphins, all options were on the table. This is literally last weekend.
Except for that one.
Except for that. Now that's nope.
at 4:01 p.m. Eastern.
Wait, what?
Tuesday.
Now, not all options are on the table?
Right. This is why people.
I can't help you.
This is why players and others in the league have tweeted, essentially speculating about collusion among the owners. Because when your competitive interests are trumped by your financial interests or business interests, and those business interests are related to helping your business partners, that suggests to many that maybe they have some understanding that they're going to help each other here. Jared in Tennessee, you're on KJM, ESPN Radio.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I listen to the show every morning. But, man, I don't know what these owners are looking at when they see Lamar. I don't know if they see him, not see him as a traditional quarterback because of the system or what, but what he did at Louisville, he was throwing it all over the yard. Reminded me of Michael Vick when he was in Philly. But he also didn't have the playmakers he needed on the outside. They couldn't win one-on-one matchups. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, can he play from within the pocket? Yes. Is he a traditional 1985 quarterback? No. But that's not the game anymore. The game is trying to get multi-use out of your quarterback position if you can. They all can run. They all can get out of harm's way. And they all can throw the football. And it's puzzling to me as to some of these teams, these quarterback-needy teams, the Commanders, the Carolina Panthers, potentially the Dolphins, that, you know, maybe the Raiders, that some of these teams that's there, you know, there's things swirling around and saying there's no real heavy interest in him, which is mind-boggling and shocking. The market is what the market is. If it's 185, 190, 200 million, that's what it is. You've got to pay if you plan on being successful in this league. You got to have a quarterback, so therefore you have to pay him. Every team that is successful in this league, they pay their quarterbacks based on that particular player's value.
Right. But the owners want to toe the line, it seems, at Kyler Murray and say, no, Deshaun Watson's a special case. And the players are looking at Deshaun Watson saying, well, you gave it to him. I'm also a player. I want that same thing. That's the market. And it's also, really a fight over what's the market.
And also, Max, I would ask you, if this were Joe Burrow,
do
you think Joe Burrow would get his money?
I don't know about 230 because, like Lamar, there could be injury issues.
Or do you think
he would
look at it more player-friendly? You asked the question. If this were Joe Burrow, would Joe Burrow get over 231?
I don't know the answer to that. I think if Patrick Mahomes towed the line, they might have to do it for him. I don't know about Joe Burrow.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes, he's going to get over 230.
Right. Coming up, you think?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. Guaranteed on day one?
Oh, my God, yes.
Casey in Georgia, you're on KJM ESPN Radio.
Good morning. Casey. I just wanted to chime in. I stayed on line. I want something to make this point. Jay, Keyshawn, you're absolutely right. It is collusion. They're not going to – you got 32 owners. They're not going to let an African-American quarterback come in without an agent and set a super max deal like he's trying to get without an agent. Then the general manager loses his upper hand. Because just because you got an agent don't mean it for you. And as far as Lamar Jackson, injury being prone, somebody older like Michael Vick or Donovan McNabb whispering in his ear, don't break your neck for this team because they could have signed you a year and a half ago. And that's just the bottom line. They don't want to open the floodgates of getting rid of the agent because then the player knows everything that's going on.
I don't agree with that. I think they'd rather negotiate without an agent because an agent, because they know what's going on, can get you a favorable deal. Agent has to prove to the player they're worth something. They got to go get him more money, right? Mm-hmm. Jimmy Joe Pesci. Go ahead. You got 30 seconds.
Jimmy Joe Pesci?
I'm back smarter than yesterday. I was 2 weeks ago. Keyshawn, the things that be coming out of your mouth, Jesus, Mother of Mary. 1985 quarterback? Yeah. You know what's the objective, Keyshawn? To get into the playoffs and be on the field. He wants guaranteed money, $250 million. He's never on the field when it's time to be, Keyshawn. How are you going to pay this man, and he's borderline ICU? Tell me this, Keyshawn.
Okay, Key. Yeah, about
Jimmy, stick around, man. Don't hang up, Jimmy.
Jimmy, I
need you on the other end,
he sounds just like Joe Pesci.
So I can really educate you on how this thing really goes, okay?
I like Jimmy.
Keep him here. Keep him here. Insult him a little bit. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, did the Ravens make the right call? ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.